All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
Hey, welcome back to Taxation is Theft, the show that talks about all the ways the government is ripping you off. Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungle of Mexico. That is, of course, until Zuckerberg finds me and cuts me off at the internet connection. I'm Dan Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States, currently in the race for Governor of Texas. And today, I have a very awesome guest with me, Cassandra Fryman, who is the mayor... an actual mayor that we have on the show, but also a libertarian, which is very interesting. You might have seen a news article going around that she dismissed all of the traffic tickets within the city. We're gonna set the record straight on that. There's an interesting story behind that, I'm sure, and all kinds of other really awesome questions that we can ask. So, of course, if you're watching this live, make sure you send us your questions. And of course, start a watch party. Get your friends involved. Because this is, we want to show that libertarianism works in practice. The city's not burning down like some other cities that are run by Democrats. But of course, before we get started, I want to ask you to share and I guess I already asked you to share. Do all that kind of stuff. Press like, press share. And also head over to taxationstheft.info. And make sure to support us by getting one of these really awesome hats or a really awesome flag. There's all kinds of stuff we have for sale on that site because we don't ask for donations. That's boring. We want to sell you stuff instead because that's the libertarian way. Capitalism, entrepreneurship, free markets. So go ahead and support us over there. But enough of that stuff. On to the show. Cassandra, how's it going?
It's good.
Awesome. So... thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join me. I know you're like sandwiched in between meetings right now. And this is a first for the Taxation is Theft show. My guest is actually sitting in a government building where she is holding her elected office, which is really amazing. So first of all, let's set the record straight. Libertarians do get elected. How did you trick your voters into voting for you?
It was pretty fun. I ran unopposed. So I had a campaign war chest of $0. My ads cost $0. And I just kind of walked into it. The reason for that is because nobody else wanted it, though. So you do have to keep that in mind. it's not very glamorous being the mayor of a small village. It's dirty work. You have to, you know, get into the nitty gritty. I'm not making changes at a national level. I'm deciding which sewer company we're going to go with, or if the trash contract is going to work. You know, it's not the glamorous campaigns of the federal and state level, but it's certainly the most impactful work you can do for your community. So I stand pretty proudly of what I do. But as for you know, running for it, it just kind of worked out, I guess. I don't know. I started with a nonprofit in the community and just kind of went from there.
Right. And I mean, don't try to downplay your office either. Cause I mean, for me running around saying, yeah, we're going to get rid of the income tax. And then people saying, but who's going to pick up the trash? I mean, you're actually working on that. You're actually like dealing with the stuff that people care about that directly relates to them. What about the police? I'm sure you have a police force, right?
We do. We have four cops. It's huge.
Well, okay, so let's get an idea. How big is this city? This is in Ohio, right?
It is. We're 1,800 people strong. But, you know, I'm proud of the things that we do have in my community. A lot of it is voluntary. My nonprofit certainly does a lot to make it a community that I want to live in. But really that's what got me involved in everything to begin with is, you know, having kids, what do I want where I live to look like? What kind of a community do I want to live in? So those are the questions that I'm asking not only of myself, but the people who live here too. So it's just kind of an interesting process, and it's my first year in office, so I'm still learning a ton about what my job entails and how to interact with people to maximize the benefits that I can offer them. So yeah, it's just, 2020 has been a hell of a year to get into politics for sure. So I don't know, it's a roller coaster right now.
Yeah. So, well, let me ask you this. Are you a taxationist theft libertarian, or are you a small taxes libertarian?
I am a small taxes libertarian. And that's just because I live in a municipality. If I lived in a rural area, I would be much more strongly opposed to, you know, taxes in many levels, because they don't get the services that living in a municipality does. You know, I like having sewer lines. I like having water lines. I like having clean water come out of my tap that doesn't smell like sulfur. You know, those are amenities that I'm happy to pay for, and I choose to pay for those things by living in a village. But I'm all for people, you know, living off the grid or finding their own way. They shouldn't be forced to. But I think, you know, once you make the choice to live in a community, you're accepting that you get those amenities and that you're paying for those amenities too. But there is a fine line between, you know, what's acceptable and what isn't, but that's where people vote. It's kind of interesting being a libertarian in the middle of all that, because I do kind of veer myself towards minimal government, whereas, you know, other people in my community would steer more towards a larger, more robust government. And ultimately, the votes are what decides which way we go. But I'm definitely happy to have those conversations with anyone that seeks me out, or, you know, anything I can lend my opinion on, I try to.
That's really interesting. And I like how you say that we choose to have drinkable tap water, or at least close mm-hmm. to drinkable tap water, usually, sewage and trash and everything else, by living in a village instead of living in a totally rural area where maybe you don't have that. But I guess in this situation, because these are all things, and you call them amenities, I would even argue that they're luxuries, mm-hmm. because you're basically, you have somebody that's installed pipes through the ground that go like hundreds of miles to God knows where, so that you can turn on a switch in your house where fresh water comes out. It's amazing. That's a luxury. Like, that's, sure. We weren't put here on Earth like that. But at the same time, like, most people, like, I would think in, let's say that was not provided by government, you buy a house, you call up the water company and you say, yes, I'd like to receive water service, and they'll start piping water to your house. And then if you say, yeah, you know what, I'd rather collect rainwater, then you could call them up and cancel it. And it's not mandatory that you participate. What does that look like in your city?
It's funny you ask that, because me and my administrator are actually working right now on creating a way for people to collect their own energy. And nice. We don't have anything in place for that now. So if somebody said, hey, I want to put solar tiles on my roof, it would be a no, because we don't have a system in place to, you know, cut them a check for their extra or how any of that works. So right now we're working on something like that, because I want people to have the option. And I also don't want the village to take a loss because they do have that option. So I'm trying to find a way for people to have more choice. So that's something I'm really excited about working on right now.
Awesome. And this is, mm-hmm. this sounds really great too, because I, you know, a really good friend of mine that goes all the way back to like middle school, he was trashing libertarians today, because he's like, yeah, the only libertarians I ever hear are like, yeah, we're just gonna, and I know he was like winking at me, like, yeah, they just want to come in and cut all the taxes and like government's just gonna disappear. And he's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like you need some sort of transition into something. And I agree with him on that, as much as I say, I mean, taxation mm-hmm. is theft, but you do need some sort of transition, because if you just pull the rug out from under everybody, then like that's when everything descends into chaos, and then they blame the libertarians. See, we tried it your way. Look how bad it was. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really awesome that you're kind of taking that approach of, you know, let's create a way where people don't have to engage with us so much, or can, mm-hmm. but can, you know, it's optional. I think that's like one of that's the secret ingredient, consent. Like that's like that's kind of like when there are people in government, as much as I despise the fact that government exists at all, like if we can get one or two people in there to say like, okay, yeah, like government, whether it's a government or whether it's a nonprofit organization that provides all these things, like let's figure out a way to make it voluntary where people can consent. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. I'm just going to jump right in. Let's go to this traffic ticket thing. I saw an article going around that said you dismissed all the traffic tickets. How did that work?
So it certainly was all of the traffic tickets for one day. It was not all of them ever, or even all of them from that point on. But the cards fell in a way that each case that was presented to me that day, it was clear that there was a lack of information available to the people who were in the situations that they were in. Or it had snowballed into something that throwing more points, more fines, more issues on top of it was just going to bury them. And the other person was honestly completely unaware of the fact that what they were doing was wrong. So without getting into it, I mean, I dismissed the points and the fines and just had them pay court costs, because to me, mayor's court should be about being able to help your community in a way that a municipal court will not. And so it's a long story short, but when I first took office, one of the things that I was very passionate about was getting rid of mayor's court entirely. That was something that I was pretty dead set on. It was one of the first things I wanted to enact when I took office. And my police chief basically talked me out of it from a standpoint of me being able to service the people in my community in a way that was much more compassionate than going to a higher municipal court and just having them issue them fines and disregard what they needed or what their situation was. So I'm trying to use it to that capacity, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, not every case will be dismissed going forward, of course. I like having speed limits in my town. You know, I have kids that play almost at the road. I don't want some maniac going 50, jumping a curb and hitting one of them or even one of my neighbors. And frankly, the people who live in my community want speed limits. So I have to think of it as a community, not just myself or my personal beliefs. So I hope that clarifies what happened. I have dismissed cases after that, but certainly not all of them, which I don't know. That's where we're going to kind of get into it, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, so I hear a couple of interesting things already. One, I love the idea of getting rid of the court, but so how does this court actually work? Because normally a judge has to be elected, and any court that's not, I guess this also depends on the state, but any court that doesn't have a judge who was elected is not technically a legally binding court. And what a lot of states do is they'll ask you to kind of, it's like the Judge Judy thing. You waive your rights to be heard by the actual judge in order to be heard by a kind of like a court like yours, like either a city court or something like that. Is that kind of what this is?
So they don't waive their rights. Their rights are actually read to them before we even hear a case. So they do still have their rights. And then they have the option of pleading guilty, not guilty, or no contest. If they plead not guilty, it automatically is transferred to a municipal court. So I will not even hear a case that is not somebody pleading guilty or no contest. So then at that point, I only hear minor misdemeanors up to a misdemeanor one. I hear nothing of higher charge than that. So really, it's basically ordinances that they're violating in town or traffic violations. Some mayor's courts in Ohio do hear DUIs, but I did not elect to get the classes for that. I really wasn't comfortable with presiding over DUI cases and things like that. So I opted out of that. But really what I'm hearing are typically ordinance violations or driving under suspension or traffic tickets.
Okay. Yeah, and that sounds about like what, because usually they do this for traffic courts in other states, mm-hmm. the states that I know well. But so it's interesting that you would opt to keep the court there when, so you would only ever hear cases that were created by your police department, right?
Correct.
So sheriff's cases, those would go straight to the county court, probably.
Correct.
So why would you, it's interesting because you're kind of in a position where you could just get rid of the court, and since the police department is kind of under your control, you could tell them, you know, this is how I want you to deal with situations. So they would never even have to get to that court. Like if somebody's having issues, if they stop somebody and they have unpaid tickets, or, you know, one of those snowballing, ticket situations, mm-hmm. You know, give them a plan that they would be able to deal with it without even having to get to the court step, without ever having to create those extra citations or, you know, de-escalation tactics or these sorts of things. Wouldn't that mm-hmm. be an alternative to still having the court and having the police give out more tickets than what you would allow to, I guess, giving out tickets that you would dismiss anyway?
That's a great point. So I did do decriminalization of marijuana last month because nice. I didn't want it enforced anymore. So that is a step that I took to kind of get that ball rolling. I have a really good dialogue with my police department. They really do see the way policing should be done, very similar to the way I do. None of the people that they pull over that are in my court are there for just one reason. Typically, they were there because they had an initial reason to pull over and then found other things. And without getting too much into like personal cases and things like that, I do think that my cops do a very good job of policing from a humanitarian approach, much more so than other communities, even some of my surrounding communities do. I have a very open dialogue with them and they know very much where I'm coming from. And honestly, they're never not supportive of what I do. I've talked with other mayors surrounding me about dismissing cases, and they were shocked that I could even dismiss cases without getting pushback from my police department. It's a very common thing for police to feel that you don't back them if you dismiss cases. They feel like you're going against what they've decided. Whereas with my department, they leave it very much in my hands and respect my decision. So while it seems from the outside that it's, I don't know, maybe not the right direction to go, to me, it's shaping a very good relationship that I think will benefit our community in the long run, especially when I hear stories from the way it's being done in surrounding communities. So is it the perfect answer? No. But I think it helps our community the best with what I have right now, if that makes sense. But it's, again, it's a learning process. I've only been doing it for about 11 months, and every case is different. But it's definitely something that we're working together on.
Awesome. Have any of these other cities picked up on your strategies and started implementing or at least started thinking about them?
Well, we've had a few conversations. I've had a couple of conversations with, especially like Richland County talks to me a lot more than Huron County does. Because my community is actually split down the middle between two counties, which makes us the black sheep of both.
Nice.
But I do have a good repertoire with several of the surrounding mayors that are really helpful. And they're on a different side of the political spectrum than I am. But they are very open to the conversations that we've had about mayor's court and how to run it, you know, how we preside over it case by case. And, you know, it ultimately is up to the mayor how it's ran. So it can be vastly different even the next door over.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, your city's not on fire. what's the biggest issue that you have in your city right now?
Our roads, which is a libertarian problem.
What? When you got elected, you got rid of them? Did you hire someone to come in and take them away?
I know. Yeah, I yanked them right out from under people. Just infrastructure in general is a struggle for a small municipality. We don't have a huge budget that a big city does. We don't have a road budget. You know, we're eking it out of, you know, nooks and crannies where we shake our pant legs out and say, well, how much can we patch this year? When really we don't need a patch. We need to dig the whole thing up and repave it entirely. But the cost of that is in the millions. And frankly, we're never going to have that. So it's a matter of finding grants, reaching out to different projects and finding things. And it's not a one-year solution. This is something that's going to take me years to apply for grants and get the money for, the partnerships, everything. Infrastructure is definitely the biggest problem for a small municipal community like mine that doesn't really have any industry. So again, it's a budget issue. It's a money issue. With small town politics, it's always about the money.
What's, because, you know, we always make fun of roads. It's just a flat surface. What's, how could this possibly cost millions of dollars? What, like, where does most of that money go? Does it go to the contractors? Does it go to the actual materials that it takes to build it or to pave it?
Well, this is going to be where I really agree with libertarianism is I can't just hire Joe Schmo who gives me the lowest bid, who says I can fix that road for $300,000. I can't hire him like that. He has to be a government contractor. I have to put a public bid out and then it has to be in the paper for so long. I have to have a ton of red tape before I can even approve somebody to do the job. I have to have an engineer draw it out. It has to be approved. I mean, it takes forever to get anything done. So you don't have any control over what you want to change in your own village as a municipality. Your hands are tied by the state. So it's just a matter of cutting through all of that red tape. It would simplify it so much. It would save us so much money, but our hands are tied by the state when it comes to those things.
Right.
Municipalities are not as nimble as they should be. So that would be my biggest complaint is whenever we need to do something, we're not adept enough to do it because we have to go through all of these hoops and red tape to do even the simplest of things.
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you've got a town with a lot of people, and I've seen this before. I've seen people doing fundraising. I actually I live on a street now that's got tons of potholes and I've been thinking about just, you know, knock on everybody's door and see who's willing to throw in some money. Cause like, we're not on a road that the city or the state is going to want to come by and repave. It's kind of like off to the side. And, you know, So, you know, it's like these solutions could work. But yeah, if you have legal issues like that in the way, then yeah. So now you're forced to beg for money from other places, from other agencies, the state and the federal government who have stolen all this money from you so that you can get some of it back so that they can say, but look, we helped you pay for your roads and you should thank us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts. Anybody who's watching this, throw your questions out because I know you guys have some really awesome questions to ask. So go ahead and throw those out. I wanted to ask do you have any other big plans, like anything that you can do, to make, you know, we talked about, you know, what you're doing with energy. Is there anything else? Like what's the most compulsory program that people are forced to participate in? Is there a sales tax? Is there, you know, are there any types of local taxes that you have?
Well, yeah, we have, you know, your income tax, we have your property tax, there's your sales tax, your school district tax.
Those are all state taxes, right?
Well, property tax goes to the school district. And we also have levies that are in place that are assessed based on your property value as well. So some of those do go to the municipality.
So is there any way that you would be interested in working on to eliminate that somehow and make it more voluntary?
Well, ultimately, it's up to the people who vote, whether they renew the levy or pass it. You know, I fall wherever they decide to go is where we make it work. I'm all about fiscal conservatorship, and it ultimately falls on them what they want to do and how they see their community. So,
right.
I mean, it's not a huge tax, so it doesn't ruffle me either way. But now that I'm in it, I see where the money goes. You know, it makes sense to me now that I'm here. So yeah, if they don't pass it, they don't pass it. We make it work. But then they have to be okay with the consequences of that, which is, you know, what we cut or what we do to make that budget fit. You know, either way, we'll make it work. So.
Okay. Are most of the people in your city, are they mostly libertarian leaning, or where do they kind of sit politically?
Our community is predominantly Republican. There are some Democrats too, and more libertarians than I first realized. But we are definitely red.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like you have a little bit of libertarian support built in. Let me ask you this. You said nobody wanted to run for mayor. Why is that? What is it that's so, cause I mean, you go to any other city and like, everybody's just fighting for it. What is it about your town?
Well, it's a very small community. You know, not a lot of people are actively engaged in politics here at the level that they're actually going to get up and do something about something. And I think it's a thankless job. You aren't dealing with, like I said, glamorous things. You're dealing with nitty gritty. You're dealing with, you know, contracts. You're dealing with, you know, trying to find money for infrastructure that is not there. And failing at it. So then people get mad at you because the roads are really shitty. You know, it's just something. It does pay a whopping $5,000 a year, though. So, I mean, you know, that government salary is pretty tempting. You know, I definitely couldn't quit my full-time job to do it. So, you know, this is a working class community. Everybody has a job for the most part. You know, we don't have time to come to a council meeting twice a month and listen to each other scream at each other about animal ordinances and golf cart ordinances. And it's just,
right. Is there,
it's
I mean,
kind of a thing.
Do you have, I mean, you still have like, I guess city council meetings, those sorts of things. Do the public come in and kind of give you crap about anything that you're working on or like what kind of stuff are they asking for? Like you talk about animal ordinances and golf carts, like is that, are those the things you're really dealing with?
Yes. So something that I've done that I'm really excited about is I wanted to bring transparency to our council meetings. After sitting in on a few of them, I was like, people should really hear what's being said in these things. Because sometimes it's kind of wild. So what I did was I live stream them to Facebook now, and then I archive Nice. Them on our website so that people can watch them when they get off work. And it's being received very warmly by the community. I think we have a lot more people engaging in council meetings than before. There aren't more people coming to them, and I think part of that is because of COVID. But there are a lot of people watching it online now, and that's been a really interesting dynamic. And the people that I work with at council do not love that it's being Facebook live streamed. But I'm very passionate about the fact that I do want to open the window on this. I want people to see how their government operates. And if nothing else, inspire a few of them and say, you know what, I could do that. I could go do that and make those decisions, because we don't have enough people participating in government at our level right now. And I do want some fresh blood coming through here, new ideas, new perspectives. So I don't know. That's something that I've really tried to bring to my community since I've been mayor.
Awesome. What kind of, you say like some of the council is resistant to making it so public. What kind of objections do they have?
You'll hear things like, well, I don't want somebody down in Florida laughing at how ridiculous this is. my response was, why is it ridiculous? You should be, you know, conducting yourself in a way that's dignified and professional and courteous to each other. You shouldn't be yelling at each other and saying things about people in town that maybe you wouldn't want to be made public. You know, I have to remind them, this is a public meeting. Everything you say here is on record. And that's something that you should definitely consider when you are opening your mouth and talking. So I don't know, I guess I wanted to bring respectability back to it instead of just mudslinging and, yelling and finger pointing that goes on in there sometimes. And frankly, they have no business talking about other people in the community in a council meeting either. I think that's so disrespectful, and it turns a council meeting into a gossip fest, and it's very unprofessional. So I don't know. I think having the transparency makes a big difference in how they act towards each other and to the people in community as well.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, I've seen some of these too, like in different cities. I guess some cities have them on live streams in different places. And it gets ridiculous sometimes. Like I've seen council members, you know, try to censor people and have them thrown out, and all this crazy nonsense goes on. And I think it's absolutely important that that these things are public. And just like you said, I mean, like anybody can like walk down there and walk in the doors and be there. What's the big difference with the cameras? And that actually brings up a really great question. Do you have the same in your mayor's court, or would you put that in there?
Mayor's court is not public. It's not a court of record, which was something that I took a real issue with as well. And Dan Johnson, who's a libertarian activist, actually helped me draft a report on why we should get rid of mayor's court. And that was one of the big issues. You know, basically, this is not recorded. This is not documented anywhere. The conversations are not, you know, accounted for. And anything that's said in here, I'm actually not liable for. So that was my biggest issue with it. And it still is something that is a wild concept to me that this actually happens, but it does in so many states. Ohio is just one of a handful that still conducts mayor's court. And that's why if they do have an issue, or if I feel, you know, that there is a conflict of interest, or I have no business presiding over this particular case, I will absolutely transfer it to Muni and just get it out of my court, because I think there is a very thin line between what's appropriate and what's not.
That's really interesting, because I mean, you know, when we expect to go to a court for a trial and we expect to have all of our rights respected, constitutional rights, human rights, everything else, one of them is that the government is going to be accountable, I think. And so I think we're on the same side there. Like this should be public. This should be court of record to some degree. Is there like, what's preventing you from making it a court of record? Like, and I think this probably goes back to the state powers, where like you're not elected as a judge, and so therefore you don't have judicial authority. But at the same time, you're kind of, I mean, I guess arguably it's an out of trial, pre-trial negotiation type thing. Arguably, why shouldn't that be on record? Why shouldn't people have the option to say, you know, yeah, no, I'd rather go to a regular court of record because I don't agree with the way that this court is doing it, which I think they have the right to do anyway. You kind of said that whenever they say not guilty, that's where they go anyway. So like, what's like, is it illegal to turn it into a public court and make it where you've got cameras in there? And maybe require
that I don't
people's
know.
Consent?
I mean, it's definitely something worth looking into. I don't know what the repercussions of that would be if I have to hire like a paralegal or someone to document everything. I don't know what that would look like. But it's not something I'm opposed to, because I do feel strongly that it doesn't have the transparency and the accountability that it should, which is why if there is something that I think is even remotely on the side that needs to be seen in a more public light, I do transfer it. You know, I don't preside over anything very serious. I have like public indecency charges, you know, or two women got in a fight in the Dollar General parking lot. I mean, it's like
classy.
Like that.
I think that's really amazing. And I think that's, you know, even putting the camera in the city council meetings, I think are like, that's an amazing step. And, you know, it's setting an example for other cities, I think. And there's, you know, we talked about like, why wouldn't anyone else want to be mayor of this town? And it's interesting that a lot of people get into politics because they want the money, they want the power. There's not a whole lot of money or power in your town, so that that kind of takes that out. I guess those types of people are going to move on to bigger cities. But I think, you know, maybe because of that, that creates a really great opportunity for you to be here and do what you're doing and kind of, you know, set a better example so that people can look to your town, like people who maybe live in bigger cities can look to your town and what you're doing and say, look, it worked there. Why don't we do it here? Why not have this like just decency of when something is public, make it public, let the cameras in there, stop hassling the press to get out of there. I think these are kind of like the fundamental building blocks that of our free society that so many people have forgotten about. I think that's kind of crazy.
Sure.
What else can you tell me? What have you done that's like, is there anything else that's like revolutionary in what you've been doing compared to what you've had in the past?
I wouldn't say anything quite revolutionary. We have a solar field now. We're hoping that it's going to save people about 10% off their utility bills next year on their electric bill. So we're hoping to see the results of that next year. The marijuana decrim was definitely something that caused a little bit of excitement in town. But I think it was overwhelmingly positive. You know, people are excited to have that conversation. And some of the surrounding communities are now having that conversation. So I'm hoping that spreads like wildfire as well. And also opens the door, like I joked with my council, but I'm only half joking. I'd love to put psilocybin and legalizing shrooms on the ballot next year, you know, see if we can decrim that too, because they have such an amazing medical potential. You know, I want to have that conversation. So there are things in the works that I think are exciting, you know, setting that bar and just to keep marching in that direction, it's important. And, you know, fiscal conservativeness is important too. So, you know, trying to lead by example on that front as well, which kind of brings me to what I'm doing after this call. I am going to my nonprofit meeting, which is what got me initially on board with all of this. We do a lot of things in our community that our government simply can't afford to pay for. They don't have the budget for these things. One of the big ones that I'm really proud of is we've privately funded our swimming pool for 2 years. They were going to close it because the village didn't have the money for it. So we proved that it was important enough to the community that they did fund it. So that's something that I'm really passionate about. We have a huge event coming up in December. It's the Christmas in the Village. We make that free to everyone who comes, and it provides things to our community that wouldn't normally happen. We bring in an iceless skating rink. We have reindeer coming, musical performances, all kinds of stuff, and just exposing our community to things that, like I said, they wouldn't see normally. And we keep it free to everyone who comes, and not just our community, but the surrounding communities as well can participate in it. So we do things like that. We fix the softball fields. We do scholarships every year. We restored our Veterans Park. We paid for a mural to be put on one of the buildings. We re-bricked the whole thing. It's gorgeous now. So we do a lot of good work. So that's kind of where my passion for private charity and fundraising things really stems from, is, you know, doing the actions that your community needs to make it the community you want it to be. Voluntarism is such a pillar for libertarianism to work. It's good that I can be a part of a nonprofit that lives by that creed, and also witness it in my own community while I'm the mayor. So I really like the duopoly that we have going right now with voluntarism and privately funding things and having the government, you know, not involved in those things. So it kind of shows people will pay for what they want to happen.
Right. And I mean, that's really amazing, because I mean, and this is kind of what I was getting at earlier. And I've had this conversation with so many people before where, you know, imagine if you took all of the aggression away from government, where they're not stealing from people. They're not caging people for doing things they don't like. They're not forcing people to participate in certain things. you get rid of all that, and you still have an organization that does some stuff, but they raise money voluntarily and they provide services to people. And some people would say, well, yeah, that's what government is. And some people say, well, that's not government because they're not doing it by force. And it's like, okay, who cares what word you call it? And what you've done is like, you've created something that does things that government does, but it's funded voluntarily. And so like, so now my challenge to you is just take the rest of everything that, that your municipality does and move it into the nonprofit. But yeah, I mean, that's really amazing. Cause you're even talking about like parks and pools and veterans memorials and arts and festivals and everything else. That's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're super proud of it.
Yeah. I think that's, and I mean, it's even kind of more interesting that you were doing that before and then you got elected as mayor. I think that's really interesting because it shows that the people kind of want, like they kind of already knew you as, you know, somebody who was trying to make things happen through voluntary cooperation. And they were like, yeah, why don't we put that person in charge of our government since we like voluntary cooperation so much. Mm-hmm. That sounds really awesome. Okay, nobody wants to be mayor of your town. Was there a mayor before you got elected?
There was. He had served 3 terms and was not seeking re-election.
So he was just like, I'm done with this. I'm out of here.
Pretty much. I mean, he'd been fire chief before that. So he's spent a lot of years in service to the community. You know, everyone needs a break. So.
Right. Right. Awesome. Zach is commenting, that's a duopoly I can get behind, I guess, between the nonprofit and the city.
Yeah,
that's really awesome. Well, okay, I know you got to get to another meeting, but mm-hmm. I want to give you an opportunity to give a plug or a shout out, wherever you want. If there's anything, usually this is where I ask candidates, if you'd like to promote your website or ask for volunteers or money or something, go for it. But, unless you're running for re-election, which I don't think you are yet. Just take the floor and, you know, if you want to make any announcements or direct anybody to a website, or if somebody wants to go learn more about you and what you're doing, where can they find out?
Sure. I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to all of the Ohioans that ran for office as a libertarian this year, and the hard work that they all put into their campaigns running an uphill battle. They scored 3% across the board, which is 2% higher than Jorgensen's campaign ran. So it shows me that there are people that are ready to listen at least the state level. You know, let's get this ball rolling. And I'm hoping to create some more momentum with them. So shout out to all of them for sure. But also, I'm always looking for an opportunity to fundraise for my nonprofit. Our Venmo is at Plymouth Improvement Committee. All one word. And like I said, we are raising money right now for our December event. It is free to everyone that comes. And it's just a really exciting experience and opportunity that kids get. We do ice skating. We have Disney characters coming. We have, you know, all kinds of things, live reindeer. We have the Lions puts on a Polar Express where they give train rides. I mean, it's wholesome. And I just really love it. It's something that brings a lot of people to our community and just gives us a chance to show off how much we do love this community. So if anyone wants to, you know, drop some money there, we would put it to good use to make sure that it always stays free for everyone who comes. So that would be my shout out.
Awesome. And there was one question that I just remembered that I missed. Mm-hmm. You said people were excited when you decriminalized cannabis, but you said it was mm-hmm. mostly Republicans for cannabis. What, how did that happen?
It's more common than you'd believe. One of the most important encounters that I had after I passed it was a woman came up to me and told me that it was the only way her husband could get food down because he has cancer. And she thanked me for taking the fear away, from taking the anxiety of getting what he needs to function, you know, in their lives. And that is what it's for. You shouldn't be living in fear when you're trying to get what you need. It's just absurd to me. And that is the response that most people give me, is that, well, people are already doing it if they're doing it. You know, it's not something that a law is really going to change one way or another either. And I think most people realize that. And even my council, which is predominantly Republican, you know, half of them voted the same way I did, because they know it's a silly law. So.
Awesome. That's amazing. So see everybody, Republicans are okay with cannabis.
Sometimes.
All right, Cassandra, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for joining me and putting up with my onslaught of questions. This has really been amazing. I think hopefully it's going to be inspirational for a lot of people who are trying to figure out how to get more in the direction of voluntary government. And mm-hmm. hopefully this is, hopefully we do see some inspiration going towards some other cities and states. We have a few people who tuned in from Uganda and from Kenya, actually, so at the beginning of this. So I'm sure they're already taking notes. But thank you so much. This has really been amazing. And I wish you the best of luck. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show sometime and catch up with how things are going and what new stuff you come up with.
All right. That sounds fun. Thanks, Dan.
Awesome. All right. Have a good night. And
you too.
And everybody listening, if you like what you heard, please make sure to share. Please make sure to share this with your friends. And head on over to taxationistheft.info and support us by buying some of our really awesome swag. That's what helps to keep us on the air and to help us distribute our counter propaganda around the world to help end taxation so everybody can be free. Thanks again. I'll catch you guys next time. Taxation is Theft.